good afternoon once again, everyone. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXVR. It is a hump day Wednesday, middle of the work week, heading downhill towards the weekend. Another beautiful day here in central Wisconsin. I mean, I cannot remember a first week of November that's been like this. It's been a great week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. How much longer will it stay? Well, to find out, we're joined from Weatherology by our meteorologist, Ray Miller. And Ray, another beautiful day here in central Wisconsin.
Just a spectacular day and near record high temperatures. We're calling for a high of 72 this afternoon. If we get there, that would tie the old record that goes all the way back to 1944. Look for south winds at 10 to 20 miles an hour under sunny skies. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 52 degrees with breezy south winds at 10 to 20. Sunny tomorrow, not quite as warm, high of 69 degrees. Friday, showers and storms with a high of 60. Saturday, chance of showers and storms, much cooler, high of 52. And sunshine Sunday with a high of 54. In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
And Ray, again, the weather looking good, at least for the short term. You said on Friday, quite a chance of rain, or looks like rain. I got myself a high school football playoff game on Friday night. Should it be a night to be prepared for some wet stuff?
You're going to want to bring the rain gear and bring some fairly warm clothes because we'll have that high around 60. That'll likely be fairly early in the day, and then I think we'll see temperatures falling through the late afternoon and into the evening hours.
So I guess real football weather this time of year with the cooler
sure.
Alert. Okay, Ray. Well, enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy the weather, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
I'll see you then.
And as Ray was just talking, I just refreshed our weather conditions at the Wausau Downtown Airport. We have broken the record. It is a record high temperature for November 2nd here in Wausau, as right now up to 73 degrees under sunny skies. The winds are out of the south at 13 miles per hour, gusting as high as 21 miles per hour. The dew point is 40, relative humidity of 30%. The barometer is at 30.07 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. So again, the old record for Wausau, 1944 on November 2nd, 72 degrees. And just a few moments ago, refreshed the latest Wausau Downtown Airport weather conditions up to 73 degrees. A record high temperature. Boy, did not expect to hit 70, plus 70 again here in November. So shortening the winter just a little bit. Again, thanks in the first hour to Sean Wright from the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation and Grand Theater. Came into studio to talk to us. If you missed it, you can always go back and hear our program and other Civic Media programs by going to civicmedia.us. That's civicmedia.us. Click on shows. You'll see all the shows. You'll see the logo for my show. Click on it. If you missed Sean Wright in the last hour, if you missed anything previously, you can go back and listen to the archive. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll be talking to Kristen Alfheim. She is the 19th State Senate District Democratic nominee heading down the stretch towards Election Day. We'll talk to her in just a few minutes. Also, don't forget, Wednesday is always a very busy day and night for myself. Got this program until 4 o'clock, then the Devil's Advocates from 4 till 6, and then I'll be back along with former Mosinee head football coach Paul Nowinski for the big high school sports show each and every Wednesday night from 6 till 8 p.m. We'll talk about what's happened in the high school football playoffs. We'll look ahead to the Level 3 action plus special guests. Right at the top of the show at 6:06, a little bit earlier than our normal guests, but this man is a busy man, so we're going to bring him on right at the top of the show. Jerry Sins, the legendary football coach at Edgar High School. He'll be our coach guest for this week. Jerry Sins starting at 6:06. And then at 7:06, we'll be talking to one of the longtime rivals of the Edgar Wildcats, Kohler Kilty from the Stratford Tigers, the outstanding running back for Stratford. He'll be our student athlete guest coming up at 7:15. So Jerry Sins at 6:06, Kohler Kilty at 7:06, our guest tonight on the Big High School Sports Show here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Also, sports-wise, tonight, the Milwaukee Bucks look to remain the only undefeated team in the NBA. Boy, the Bucks off to a fantastic start. Bucks are taking on, for the second straight game, the Detroit Pistons. odd scheduling. I'm not sure why. And also odd scheduling in two nights ago, they faced the Pistons in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. And tonight, they take on the Pistons at Fiserv Forum as well. So Bucks looking to stay red hot. Boy, Giannis, what a performer. We are so lucky to see him. My parents had a chance to see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when he played for the Bucks. In fact, they saw him at the Milwaukee Arena when he was known as Lou Alcindor back in his early days. And Kareem played his first six seasons for the Bucks before going on to play for the Lakers. Kareem had a NBA title for the Bucks. It feels like the same kind of thing that we are able to see now. My parents had a chance to see at the arena Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, one of the greatest all-time performers in the NBA, and now all of us are so very fortunate to see Giannis in his prime and even longer than Kareem was in Milwaukee. So, again, enjoy it. Enjoy how good the Bucks are, because many of you, like myself, Bucks fans, had to go through a lot. Some bad seasons before Giannis and another great start. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk to Kristen Alfheim, the state Senate candidate, coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. As I said in the last segment, record-setting day. Yep, we have broke the record for the highest high temperature on November the 2nd. 73 degrees under sunny skies, breaking the record of 72 set back in 1944. So this time of year, when candidates are off canvassing, knocking on doors, supposed to be bundled up, supposed to be windy, supposed to be wet rain, but a lot of sunshine for the candidates. And we got one candidate who's taking a little break from our door knocking and campaigning in the final week before the election, from Wisconsin's District 19 State Senate candidate, Kristen Alfheim. And Kristen, thank you for coming back on the program.
Absolutely excited to be here. Thanks, Chad.
Well, of course, you know, got to ask a former D.C. Everest class of 1989 graduate to do something. You got to do it, right?
That's right. Woo-hoo!
That's absolutely. Right. Central Wisconsin native, graduated high school the same year, the same school with me, and trying to earn a spot in the state Senate. And I know it's a busy, busy time, but first of all, I got to say congratulations. I saw you just recently got married in the middle of a political campaign. You are a glutton for punishment in terms of busyness, aren't you?
Well, I said I was a multitasker and capable of accomplishing great things. So why not get married in the middle of a state Senate run? Why not?
Absolutely. Let's talk about the business, because this is the 6 days before Election Day. People are voting already. I know it's been month after month during the campaign, but what's the feeling right now, knowing that we're in the final stretch, 6 days to go before the votes are completed, the votes are then counted? What's the feeling right now in your situation? Because it's got to be an exceptionally exciting time, but a stressful time. What goes through your head at this time?
Yeah, it's, I'm not sure anybody could possibly understand unless they were within it. It's intense. It truly is. A normal day right now in my calendar looks like we start the morning, and usually between 7 and 9 a.m. is where I try and get my life done. So anything on the personal or on the city business side all takes place between about 7 and 9 a.m. And then by 10 o'clock, we are running, whether it's at an event, talking to people, whether it's knocking on doors. It just goes all day, all night. And just for fun, again, still on the city council here in Appleton, budgets are going on. Mm. So tonight I have city council meetings on the budget from 4 until, I'm going to guess, about 8:30, 9 o'clock tonight. So the Senate itself, you run, you put your head high, and you put your feet down, and you knock on doors. It's just what you do. And your goal is to, again, every time I've gone to a door, the answer is I'm trying to listen. I really want people to tell me. Tell me what it is you need me to hear, because I intend to win. So I want everybody to know that we can have an open line of communication no matter what. It's time to get back to just listening and working together. to get things accomplished in the state again. And that message has been received really, really well. People are just tired. They're tired of the nonsense and the standing on far edges and screaming. It's just time to get back to trying to move forward for Wisconsin. And I'm very, very, very proud to stand by that. Listen to everyone. Work through the situation and do the best you can to help as many people as possible without beating up on the heads that are paying for it. That's rational. And I was referred to as radical. In fact, the word radical, in my opinion, has been overly used in everyone's literature. I've decided I'm going to be radically rational because that's the only thing radical that's going on right now, rational thought. We should do more of that.
And I wanted to ask you specifically, you actually jumped in right on my next question, because when I was, you know, again, reading up on you, you know, on articles about your campaign, and one of the terms that came out was rational moderate. Sometimes folks think that that doesn't work, that in fact, that you have to be almost, you know, that, you know, scream from the rooftops kind of person. But you sound like that kind of message does resonate in this time and in our politics at this point in 2022. That's what you're finding at this point?
Yeah, I think that there will always be a place for an activist. An activist's job is to draw your attention to something, and there will always be a place for that. I believe my job in the Senate is to be an advocate. It's listening to those that are screaming on the edges, taking it all in, and then breaking down what the reality is in the situation based on the topic. So being a rational moderate means you are willing to listen to all sides so that you completely understand the positives and the negatives of the situation and where we are and deciding whether we can move forward at this time or not or what shape that would look like. That's what we are supposed to do. Madison is supposed to be made up of people from different opinions that are taking all of the information and trying to move a notch forward, keeping in mind all of the people. And I think that you need to be willing to disagree now and then. You need to be willing to disappoint people. It's just like being a parent. Mm-hmm. You can't always say yes. Sometimes the right answer is not yet, or we can't. We have to be able to say that on both sides. If everybody in Madison were actually leading, we would realize that there are ideas and there are rational ideas out there that we could work together on and move forward, but we don't. Instead, we stand on the edges. We can't do that. But we can't do that. We have to start leading in Madison, which means if we find a good idea, it's a good idea. If it's a bad idea, it's a bad idea. But rational thought has to be involved and looking at it from all angles. I think that the world is screaming for balance. They really are. That's what I'm hearing on the doors. They want people that say, okay, I know this isn't the case all the time, but here's how I feel. Yeah, that's valid. You know, again, rural America is not the same as downtown. So we have to have some empathy. We have to understand that how we live, the backyards that we live in, are not what everybody else's yards look like. So I'm the person who, again, came from Schofield, a small farm in the Everest area. I understand what it's like in a small town, living in a small community, and now I live downtown Appleton. Mm-hmm. So I try to bring a wide array of experience with curiosity for people and places and situations that I'm not familiar with to learn first. Learn and be curious as opposed to judgment. And if we all did that, I think we could start making some progress.
Again, we're talking to Kristen Alfheim, who is the Democratic nominee for the 19th State Senate District here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. After hearing all of what you just said, at the same time, your election is very important in terms of allowing, I think, discussion, because you're one of the seats that's being fought for in the state of Wisconsin that could be the difference between Republicans getting a supermajority in the state Senate. And it would be a lot more difficult, I would think, for any Democrat in the state legislature to be able to bring up good ideas when one party has that kind of gap in terms of, or has that kind of power. So I imagine that for what you want to accomplish, you winning this race is rather significant, because it's a lot easier to talk to the other side when the other side has a little bit of power within the process. And Democrats won't have much power within the process if the Republicans do have that supermajority, correct?
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, there's no doubt my seat is considered the seat. The idea of flipping one seat, number one, is difficult to do. Number two, there's very, very few competitive seats due to the way the lines are drawn across the state. So me winning this seat is the difference between a Republican supermajority and not. Now, I like to have this conversation on the basis of, no matter who you are, no matter what side you vote on, a supermajority is defeating the purpose of our government structure. So anybody that's excited and thinks that, you know, getting everything through on the Republican side, every person that thinks that right now has to think about it as, what if the roles were reversed? And what if the other side were just running everything they wanted with no checks and balances? Would that be acceptable? And the answer is no. We should never be in a situation, never, of a supermajority, especially in a state that's 50-50. We are perfectly purple. Perfectly purple. We have been for decades. So how, in a 50-50 state, can we have the lines drawn to the point that it is so hard to keep it from a supermajority? That's a problem. So the challenge is getting people to step up and say it's wrong. There's moderate people in the world. The independents and the moderates of the world understand that there's supposed to be tension. There's not meant to be a lockdown. Now, prior to, right now we have, there's no supermajority at this point. And yet, only 2% of the ideas from the Democratic side made it to the committee level to be discussed. 2%. Out of roughly 900, it was almost 1,000 bills brought up. Only 2% were allowed to be discussed. Now, realistically, do we think that one party has no good ideas ever? That's not the case. So the structure, the way that it's set up right now, if there's too much power on one side or the other, they just stop listening. But you have to remember, that's 50% of the population that minority is still representing. There still needs to be civilized dialogue and to say, yes, here's what we can agree on. Let's move forward. We have to get Madison back to representing the people, all of the people. And it doesn't. What I don't want to happen is this entire pendulum concept where it's all this and then it turns to all that. Mm-hmm. We have got to get back to a moderate center swing that leans based on the people, which it will move from time to time, but we have to get back to just speaking for the people. And the people is not just one party or the other. It's all of us. It's all of us. So we have to, I'm going to go there and I'm going to be asking for that every day, creating relationships, saying, let's work together. Let us lead for the good of our people. No matter who you are, the district that they are representing has plenty of people that are on the other side. How about we represent all of our people? At least make the attempt to properly represent the people in our district. When I go to the doors, my job is to listen. Even if someone is not going to vote for me, it's okay. I'm still listening. I'm asking questions so I understand how they feel and why it matters to them and how it affects their family. And we work to find what we can agree on. And in the end, we always agree on more than what we disagree on. That validates to me that we can and we should be working better. Our elected officials must do a better job of finding that commonality and working towards those goals. We must do it.
We got some issues to talk about, but we got to take a news break. Can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Sure.
Absolutely. We got to take a news break. We're going to come back, talk about a few of the issues when Kristen Alfheim is talking to the voters in the 19th State Senate District. What are they talking about? And what are her plans should she win this election coming up in just 6 days' time? We're coming up on the bottom of the hour again. We will get a local news update. We'll get a statewide news update and a national news update coming up. And we'll come back with the 19th State Senate District Democratic nominee, Kristen Alfheim. It is the Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show. The time is 3:28. Temperature stands at a record 73 degrees under sunny skies. More to come here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. 333, threes across the board, 73 degrees under sunny skies. Again, we are talking to the 19th District State Senate candidate, Kristen Alfheim. And Kristen, you were talking about, you know, talking to a lot of folks and just getting into discussions. I want to ask you, again, this is kind of an open question, but is there as much anger out there as people like to say there is, or are people able to have conversations? I know you probably knock on a lot of Republicans' doors over there. It's a slightly Republican district. What is the response that you get when you talk to folks about your thoughts on government? That's a very hot issue. Anytime you talk about politics and government, what are you hearing?
You know, I mean, I think that the first thing that I try to do is just diffuse the stress. Because the reason that people get hot or nervous or yell usually has to do with the person they're talking to. And so I make sure that no matter what I consider, and I'm very, very relaxed and there's no defense going on. I'm not coming to try and convince someone of anything. I think that the reality is a lot of the anger comes from there's a fear of having a conversation out of what the response would be if they say it. So I try very hard to let people say what they need to say. Sometimes we just need to be heard. I've had people, you know, go down a path of, you know, some issue. It doesn't really matter what it is. Go down the path and I will just listen to them. And the issue that they have, they may think is strongly on the Republican side or strongly on the Democrat side. But what we find out is that it's actually mushed together. Some people are mad about federal issues, but when you help them realize what matters at the state level and what can be done to impact that, they don't realize that the party they think they're voting for is actually the one standing in the way of it. So I don't come at it as a scolding mechanism or, you know, head to head. I let them talk because, in, you know, the stress and the emotion that's out there is real. It's real. So, people need to know that they can say what's on their mind and someone is listening to them. And then once that stress is relieved, then we can actually have a good conversation. I've probably not 2,500 doors, 3,000. I mean, I think there's a lot of doors. So individually that I'm talking to, I have probably only met with hostility, like pure not going to have a conversation hostility, less than a handful of times. Less than a handful. Now, don't get me wrong. Data always shows us based on voting records, not who they vote for, but we can kind of get an idea of who's what. And if it's a strong, strong GOP house, chances are not knocking on it. Mm-hmm. I spend the bulk of my time in the middle because the middle are the ones that need to know more, or they may lean one side or the other side and they need to understand how it's going to get addressed. So there's a reality that, 30% of the population on each side, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's said. You're not going to change their mind on anything. So those we just kind of let be. It's the rest of us. It's the rest of us in the middle that need to understand where are we today, who can impact it, what can impact it, and do we believe in that person's ability to stand for good in the long run that helps their family.
One of the interesting things, again, while I was researching, getting ready to talk to you again, and I saw this actually before the first time that we talked, is there's some Q&As out there with you and your opponent, and talking about what are the important issues involved in this campaign, and you did a questionnaire with the Post Crescent over in Appleton, and it's something we talked about earlier in the campaign, and the thing about it is as the time has gone by, the issue of funding to the municipalities and the towns and the cities, the shared revenue, it seems like it started to get a little traction. Is that the way you... Because sometimes it's a bit of a wonky subject. And I remember when I asked you about it the first time around, you were so thrilled to talk about it. Do you feel like more people are talking about it? Not just maybe someone like me talking to you, but actually people within the communities, because sometimes those wonky little issues can get caught up, as you said, with some of the other issues. And I compared what you said. You talked about lack of state funding for the municipalities. Your opponent talked about inflation. I'm not sure how much you as an individual state senator was going to be able to help inflation over the next 6 months.
Right.
But this issue is something that, as a state senator, you're actually able to do something about. Do you feel like this issue has gained some traction during this campaign?
It has, because, again, in my entire campaign and all of our canvassers, who are all volunteers, by the way, all of them. We have no paid canvassers in Senate District 19 on the Dem side. Every person out there, we have had the conversation about kitchen table. What are the issues that affect the person you're knocking on the door, their kitchen table? If the answer is public safety, because you'll see a lot of crime and inflation and borders, right? You see, I get flyers in all the time with my name out, the hate mail that talks about crime and the borders and inflation. As a state senator, you can't, I have no vote on border issues, right? I can't control inflation, but safety is a state issue. If we want, what do we need? If we want less drunk driving, if we want noise reduction. Noise in vehicles around us is crazy. If we want people to slow down, those are local issues. Those are state issues. Talk to the local police department and they'll tell you that they would love to have more patrols to work on that. I have to sign off on the budget tonight in the city of Appleton. 50% of the entire city budget is for the fire department and the police department. 50. And if we had more money, we would give it to them. We don't have the flow from Madison to do it. The Republican legislature has wrapped a knot around the capital, the money that they have. Think about the income and the amount of money that has been spent in the last 12 years. The money that's coming into Madison has gone sky high off the chart. And yet the monies that are coming back to the municipalities and the schools and the police department and the fire department to fix our roads and the water has stayed flat for over 12 years. So that $5.6 billion is just the money that used to come to the communities to take care of the residents. We talk, you hear people screaming about taxes. What taxes are we talking about? Because the income taxes are actually at a lower level, lowest level than they've been in ages, at a state and a federal level. The taxes we're mad about are our real estate tax, our property taxes. The property taxes are a direct correlation to the fact that the GOP in Madison is not funding our communities the way that they're supposed to. So my problem is when one side points the finger at one side saying, you're causing this, it's not right to point the finger at small government or at anybody who is given no control to fix it. We have no choice but to fix roads and do what we're supposed to do in the city. This is a real story, real activity out of the city of Appleton. We had a conservative alder ask if we could sell parks. He wanted to know if we were able to sell parks So basically, we could get rid of that land and we wouldn't have to take care of it. Really? You want to sell parks? How about we go back to Madison and we ask for the money that used to take care of that and release it? You can't do that. A municipality's job is to take care of its residents, keep them safe, keep them healthy, keep things moving. We have to have the flow coming through. That is a Republican state legislature issue. And I believe the moderates of the world are starting to hear that and start drawing attention. I even had that same conservative alder person, who, by the way, has worked for a state senator in town, finally acknowledge that we need to, you know, we're going to have to do something about the revenue. Yes, yes, we do. For the good of the kitchen tables in our communities, we have to return the flow. It's $5.6 billion isn't excess revenue to the state. It is the cash to take care of our families, the roads, the water, the police, the fire, and the school. We need to fix it and quit messing around with anything else. That is the issue that affects every kitchen table in the state of Wisconsin.
Again, we're talking to Kristen Alfheim, the 19th State Senate District Democratic nominee here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Another issue that you can actually have a real factor in terms of what's going on in the state of Wisconsin, and probably an issue that you probably didn't want to have to be able to fix, is the 1849 abortion ban. Because up until the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, that 1849 abortion ban was not on the books in the state of Wisconsin. Now it is. Since we last talked, during the course of this campaign, there was, again, a lot of anger, a lot of fire when it came to people who were upset after that Supreme Court ruling came out. Has that fire stayed with these voters, or are you hearing that more of those kitchen table issues? What's your take on that issue, and what would you do differently than maybe your opponent would do differently in Madison?
Yeah, I mean, first I'll address my opponent. She will say, and she doesn't enjoy some of the mail that I've put out. And the mail that I put out states that she has stood in lockstep with her leadership, who has supported the 1849. And she would tell you that that's not true, that she supports exceptions. Well, saying something and actually doing something about it are two very different things. Two times the governor has opened up the opportunity with emergency session. Two times. For the Republican legislature to listen, to discuss, to make changes, to say we want exceptions. And two times, my opponent hasn't even been there. So let's be real on who wants this rule to go away and who doesn't. I do not believe that a law from 1849, which predates the Civil War, should be dictating what can and can't happen between a person and their doctor. I don't believe that should take place. We must give people. Now, I will talk to people that, without question, and I have no issue with this, say that they are not someone who would want to. They personally do not believe in the tool of abortion. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a perfectly acceptable answer. And many of those people quickly follow with the line, but I don't think that we should be telling someone else what to do. And I wrote, you know, that is the point to remember. Now, what we have to be careful of is there's a lot of people out there in the moderate world that, you know, they don't like it, but they think it might be wrong. Well, choosing to vote for people that can actually take care of it matters. If there's something that twinges in you that says that's probably not right, it's not right to ignore it. It's not right to think it's going to work itself out. That's how we got here to begin with. We have to physically make a stand and say no. And there are a lot of rational Republicans, a lot of moderates that know that this has gone too far, and we have to start being realistic about taking care of the people. And women deserve better than to be told they have zero control. They deserve better than that. Whether we like it or not is a moot point. We make those choices for ourselves, but do not stand in the way of someone else having to make a critical decision for themselves, their family, with their physician. That's just obtuse.
Kristen Alfheim, again, really appreciate you spending some time. I know there could have been some doors you could have been knocking on here in the last half hour or so, but really appreciate it. Again, congrats for being involved in this race, and best of luck when the votes come in on Tuesday night.
Thank you, Chad. I look forward to getting through the Wausau area soon. In the meantime, I got to go knock some doors.
Stop by the station when you get to town.
Will do. We'll talk to you soon.
Kristen Alfheim here on Bow Falls Radio W. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. Again, with you until 4 o'clock. Devil's Advocates from 4 till 6. And then I will be back. Again, busy Wednesday because from 6 till 8, the big high school sports show. Myself and former Mosinee head football coach Paul Davinsky talking some high school football playoff action, plus special guests Colby head coach Jim Hagan at 6:40 and Wausau West senior linebacker. My mind blanks on me. Caleb Tooley. Yes, Caleb Tooley joining me at 7:06 tonight. So again, a busy Wednesday. And again, very happy to have talking some high school with the Wausau School Board and their president, Jim Boucher. Jim, again, thanks for sticking around for one more segment. We were talking beforehand, before the break, again, about the potential changes. And you've been talking about, again, a little bit of the history of where we got to this point where some ideas have to be put on the table. And basically, could you continue where you were? And also, what is happening, I guess, behind the scenes right now in terms of maybe future changes?
Well, good point. I'm going to go back to where I was talking about the numbers of students in the state of Wisconsin mm-hmm. starting to diminish, and now what we're seeing in local districts. We're starting to see that here. We have seen it here. And when you have less students, you get less funding. And when you get less funding, you need to start looking at what you can do to cut back. Now it becomes an economic situation as well. And we have seen families move. We have seen families have less children. We have seen demographic changes throughout the state of Wisconsin. And so those are tangibles that cause change to take place for many of the school districts. So we're starting to see more school districts look at consolidation of the buildings that they've had. That is something that we're looking at right now with a lot of input from staff and from community members and businesses in the community. So we're spending a lot of time listening because we are going to have problems down the road. We're starting to see that. We want to be proactive and not reactive. And so we're starting to do this plan in. So we've had subcommittees created this past summer and into the fall for the secondary and also elementary. What are we going to do? As I talked about what boards are concerned about budget and curriculum. Right now, it is an economic and curricular driving force in how are we going to move into the future. And the economic side is going to be, can we afford to keep 20 educational school buildings open? Is that going to be fiscally prudent of us in order to move our students forward and our community forward? So there is the talk. The two committees met. They have given ideas, and now we're going to start talking with community about what they think about the situation, so we can sit back and make the best decision possible. We want to listen a lot, Chad, mm-hmm. and that's one of the things as a board president, I want to make sure that I'm doing, listening more. I have ideas, but I want to hear other ideas first.
It really does come down to making sure everybody that is invested in the schools here in Wausau have their voice be heard, isn't it? I mean, especially for the Absolutely. Biggest decisions. I imagine that the board has options in terms of, you know, doing things, whether it's in this situation or other situations, but boy, it makes things a lot simpler when something is implemented, when everybody, for lack of a better term, does have that skin in the game where their voice was heard.
Oh, absolutely. And parents have big skin in the game. And being a parent and a grandparent, I understand that side. But I also understand from the administrative side, you have to make good decisions from the budgetary point of view and also the curricular point of view. And from a board point of view, we're expecting the administration to come to us with ideas for solutions, and then we will confirm what solution would be best for the community. That's why we're the elected officials at this point in time. And that's the process we're following, Chad, and we're trying to stay really tight to that because we've got a lot of things that have to happen, not only with the restructuring of everything, but also taking a look at moving our students forward and closing the achievement gap. Mm-hmm. That has been a big conversation for many years in education. We have a bigger gap as what has come out nationally and statewide and locally, where students have had some really tough learning years in the last couple of years because of the pandemic.
How do you go about doing that? That's a big question, but what is the process right now when you see that gap? What is on the table in terms of trying to close that gap?
Well, I'll tell you what has been done already. The ESSER money, the Elementary Secondary School Emergency Fund, that relief fund that was put out by the federal government, has been very beneficial for us to start some tutoring programs get our students up to speed to where they should be at this point in time. So we have hired temporary people in those positions to help our students move forward. The remedial programs are working well at this point in time, and we'll continue to find out through our assessments how well our students are closing that gap with the help that we are giving them. So we have implemented, and we are moving forward. And we just hope to continue to do that because you never stay the same. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. And so we're intending to get better.
And I guess my final question is, you've talked a lot, you've mentioned a lot the term budget. Budget money is so vitally important. How is the budget right now for the school board? How difficult are decisions right now for the school board? I guess how is the district doing in that realm?
Well, there's a couple of places where we are very grateful to our community. Our community is a community that wants to have the best. And passing the referendum for $120 million was unbelievable. And that was it was almost, 2-1 in favor of moving forward in that fashion. But now the community, the taxpayer, is going to expect us to use that money appropriately and be very specific in how that money is being used as we move forward. So we're progressing and we're moving forward off of that referendum, and we're hoping to make sure that everything is real tight and going in the correct direction. The other part is when you talk about if you can save money here, you can spend money over there. Or if you can save money and not spend money and still get the top project done, that's great, and it's good for the taxpayer. And that's what we're moving forward to. And with consolidation, the possibility would be to maybe save even more because of the fact of the number of redundancies that we have throughout our elementary and secondary level.
The issues will keep coming. That's one of the things about being on a school board, isn't it?
But I don't look at it as a problem. Look at that as a challenge.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. And I really appreciate you coming on the program, talking about some of these issues. And I hope to have you back on again, because as you said, challenges keep coming and different issues come up. And really appreciate you spreading a little bit of the information and talking to our listeners. So again, Jim, apologize we couldn't get you on last week, but I hope it was well worth the wait for you and for everybody tuned in.
Thank you very much, Chad. I greatly appreciate it.
That's